Each year is sponsored in memory of Dr. Herbert Harris, Reb Chaim ben Reb David, by his children. By his children. Okay, we are on Daf Pesayin Amid Beis. We are in the middle of the Mishnah, but I'm going to start again. Dr. Mishnah, a woman whose husband left town. And Rashi explains it's an Eid Echad. Beis Bailach, your husband died. Venisus, and she got married. Vakach Bo Bailach, her husband shows up. Taitzim Mizem Mizem. By the way, as I mentioned yesterday, and I don't want to get involved too much in current events, but this happened after the war multiple times. There's Chubas written in the Achronim, we mentioned last week that a Mamzer can be Matar himself, or was it 2 weeks ago? That they can marry a Shivchi Knanis and get their kids free. So there's Chuvas written in the 1950s about whether we can employ that same method. Get some guy that lives in some poverty-stricken land to sell themselves as a slave, as a Shivchi Knanis, and then have these Mamzerim who were born, unfortunately, from women who survived the war and thought their husbands were dead. And then their husband showed up, and the kids are Mamzerim. Have them marry these Shivchi Knanis, and then have whoever bought them free their kids. And the question became, slavery is illegal, and since slavery is illegal, whoever would be doing it would be violating law, would be work, all kinds of different shilas, whether this is a practical advice or not. At the end of the day, I don't think they did it. But that's not the point. What I'm trying to say is, this happens, unfortunately. And when it happens, there's a big problem. So here what happened was an Eid Echad told her. We're going to see soon in the Mishnah that there's a difference between whether one witness told her husband died or two witnesses told her husband died. Not in the fact that she's an Eitz Ish. The husband showed up. You know what I mean? There's nothing to talk about. But the difference is in the consequences. Over here there are consequences, and ultimately the Gemara will say that the reason there are consequences is because she's somewhat to blame. Because the reason we rely on an Eid Echad, again, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, is because we also rely on the fact that she won't do it unless she's 100% confident. And obviously, she blew it. She blew it. And therefore, by telling her there's consequences, it puts pressure on her to make sure that before she gets married, she knows that it's 100% true. At least, she's satisfied that it's 100% true, and she's willing to take the gamble. We'll see. The Gemara Mishnah will get there, so we'll wait there. The Yachkach Tate, Bob Island, that her husband comes, Tate to Mizab, Mizab. She has to leave both husbands. The Kiddush is the first one, which we could get Mizab, Mizab, and there the Kiddush is the second one. The Eilach Subah, my parents, my Mizaynus. She's not entitled to Subah, nor to be reimbursed for her fruit, nor for the obligation of any husband to redeem her, by the way, and no food, neither from a living husband, or if he dies from his estate. The loy blois, no leftover clothing, loy alzav, loy alzav, from either marriage. The notlam izav is that time concern, if she took it, she has to give it back. Pavlad mamzim izav, izav, again from the second husband, those mamzerim are rabbinic. From the first husband, just the opposite. From the second husband, it's biblical. He married an Eitz Ish by Shogeg, but kids are kids, they're Mamzerim, and from the first husband, it's rabbinic. There is a Shilam d'Achreinim. What would happen if the first husband divorces her and the second husband keeps her on? He's not supposed to. Taysim Mizah Mizah. What if he remarries her? First husband divorces her, the second husband also gives the get that rabbinically is required to give, and then he takes her back. With the kids... Either one of the two, the Shaila is. Let's talk about two number first. Right? Reuven went to Medina Sayyam. We thought he was dead. She got remarried to Shimon. Reuven showed up. We made Reuven give her a get rabbinically, biblically, and we made Shimon give her a get rabbinically. 6 months later, Shimon remarries her. Are the kids Mamzerim now? Because the Mishnah said they're Mamzerim from both of them. But that's because at that point, she had not gotten divorced from either of them. Or, what if she did? Or what if the first husband remarries her? Same Shaila. Reuben came back, he gave his get. Shimon gave his get. Now Reuben takes her back. Would we still say they're rabbinic mamzerim? Now they wouldn't be biblical mamzerim because she's not an Eitz Ish anymore. The question is, did the Takana de Rabbanon, that we don't want to marry to each of those two, right? And therefore we said that even if she has kids from the first husband, they're rabbinic mamzerim. That's before their divorce is given. One of the divorces were given, everything is finished, 6 months later, the husband decides to take her back. Would that takana still be in place that they're rabbinic mamzerim? Is it being machlokes achronim?
We said
yesterday it's worse than a biblical mamzer. A rabbinic mamzer is restricted to marrying a Jewish girl rabbinically, but he can't even marry a mamzeret.
I know it's worse, but when this child was born, everything was
hunky-dory. Yes. Well, now, let's go back. From which husband?
First.
From the first? Yeah, he's fine. He's kosher.
Always.
What happens is the first husband comes back and does not divorce her like he's supposed to. We tell him, you got to get rid of your wife. He doesn't. And now he has children.
Now
he has children. Now, what if he divorces her and then takes her back?
I'm sorry, I thought somehow that we had...
No, we are not... The children born before he left town, before they're 100% kosher, will remain kosher for the rest of their lives. She didn't get married. There's no Mamzer Gerushasa here. Again, Mamzer Gerushasa says she got married to somebody else. She didn't. Reuven was married to her. Shimon was not married to her because she was an anxious ish. So we came back and we said Shimon has to divorce her rabbinically because it looks like they were married, and Reuven has to divorce her biblically. We don't want her staying together with Reuven. Everybody listened. He divorced her. 6 months later, one of the two want to take her back. The issue of Magzer Gerushasa is only if she gets married in between. If she got married to somebody else in the interim. She is a Magzer Gerushasa, but the halacha of Magzer Gerushasa doesn't, you're allowed to take back your divorce. Right, exactly. There is no issue here biblically. Biblically speaking, is she? Hold on a second. Was she Mazana Baratzin?
No.
So she's not Asil Baal Abaya. Nobody's accusing her of doing this willingly. I mean, we're not talking about a lady that willingly went. She thought her husband was dead. She had a witness that told her that. What?
You punish her if she did.
You punish her.
Any different than if she did?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Well, honestly, this Shiloh would be the Shiloh. Can he remarry her afterwards? That would be the difference. Either one is a Shiloh. Either one is a Shiloh. If they're kahanim, neither of the two can be metamet to her. And neither one have a right. Now this is punishing them. Till now we were throwing the book at her. Now we're saying, since we don't want this marriage to continue, we're not going to let any of the husbands have what she finds, her earnings. And no one can nullify her nedarim. We don't want any kind of marriage going on. If she's a Bat Yisrael, she becomes possible from Kahuna. And that is happens biblically, because even if she did it Ba'inus, an Ashes Ish who lives with a man Ba'inus can't marry a Kayan. Right? A Kayan, Yisrael, if his wife was forced to have a relationship, can stay married to her. A Kayan, once she has a relationship with another man, even Ba'inus, she's Aser. Either she's a Zayna, we said, it's not a moral or ethical thing, or she's, because it says Tumah, we had a whole sugya in the sixth parak that told us this. Baslevi min ha-Maiser, that's rabbinic. A Baslevi becomes Pasul from Maiser. Really, she shouldn't be Pasul from Maiser. There's no halacha that a woman that's Mizan is Pasul from Maiser, but rabbinically, we punish her that she's Pasul from Maiser. Baskaya min ha-Truma is biblical. And if she dies, nobody has a right to Ksubas Benin Dichrin. For those who remember from Ksubas, we made a special takana that the inheritors of each woman have a right to their mother's Ksuba, because we want people to give their daughters money, and some people are going to say, why should I give my daughter money? Somebody else's daughter is going to marry the same man, and his kids, their kids, are going to inherit my money. So we made a takana that after the father dies, each set of Yarshim have a right to collect their mother's ksuba before the Yerusha takes place. There were details in that halacha, but that was called ksubas benin dichrin. And that over here does not apply. If she dies, and then both husbands died, nobody can claim ksubas benin dichrin. The mesu, akam shazeh, chotim v'lemitzab. If both die, Yibum, really, the first one's married to her biblically. His brother has to do chalitza biblically. We don't allow Yibum. The second one is not married to her biblically. Rabbinically, we require chalitza from his brother as well. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. This is what we throw at this marriage. This whole list. Yes?
It's kind of saying that she hasn't done her
biblical. Correct.
If there were two aliens.
That's cut enough. I didn't let him ask it. I said, wait till the end of the Mishnah. He tried to ask it.
Not only did I ask it, after I asked it, you shook your head and said,
who is it? Coming out.
Yeah.
Right. I heard it.
The hard thing to say is, maybe he says it very much better, maybe he'll...
Rashi. Ha'isha bo'o v'amr lo ba'ed echot, k'zehkina b'gemar m'sefa, as we are dying from the end. We don't view her as anusa. Again, we're not accusing her of doing it willingly, but she's not blameless. Even though the Rabbanan said we trust in Eidechot, the Gemara gives us the maskana of the Gemara. Time am I, the reason we're willing to trust Eidechot and break the rules, which, by the way, will lead us to the sugya of how can the Rabbanim break biblical rules and trust in Eid Echad and let her release of Eishes Ish. Because biblically speaking, one Eid is not believed, as the Gemara will come at the end. But we trust this Eid Echad based on the fact that she will be careful at the Yadim B'Kushta until she's 100% sure of Mitzvah. V'hadim Le'daika. And here we come out saying, obviously she didn't do her job. We punish her. She could get mizam, touch him tertuli nasalach if she ever wants to get remarried. The time of the boy get me shame him a farish with Gemara. And Gemara's going to know, why do you get against him the second one? He didn't do anything wrong. I mean, sorry, he's not married to her. Mizainis, Bafilamasha loves the Valklatavklav. Even what she borrows, they don't have to repay. Blois, Bafilash Chikas begodim shayla, even her old ward and our clothing lay tight to Mishan. The second marriage, it's a total mamzer. The first one retained her, and she had kids. That's rabbinic. Now, over here, the next three words are problematic. Rashi says, the problem is, she's pasim truma deraisa. She's a zayna. She can't eat truma. So what does Rashi mean with v'chein truma d'rabbanon? Some people take it out. And some people want to say that the reason it says batkai min ha-truma, it already said nifslim min ha-kahuna, is to add that even from truma d'rabbanon, that's what Rashi means to say. But she's really pasim with the raisa. It's a very problematic three words in Rashi. Yarshim ksubasa, the Gemara parak ksuba mahi, the Gemara is going to ask what ksuba they're inheriting. Cholzin, Akam Sharisha Bidaraisa Chalitz, he gives Chalitza biblically, Rabbanan Gazin Leliyabim, and Rabbanan make a Zera that he shouldn't do Yibim, Akam Shosheni Chalitz Midrabbanan. Shim Zera, now Rashi tells us the reason that he didn't tell us before. Why do we require a divorce? And why do we require Chalitza? Shema Yoim Rugiri Zevin Asazem. Because we're afraid people are going to say she really was married to the second one, that the first one divorced her before he left town. That's what people were going to say. So therefore, we act as if the second one is a husband. We make him divorce her, and we make his brother give chalitza, give him a farish for Gemara, like the Gemara will explain. Got the gap. Okay. Zuck to Gemara Vaita. Now we're going to see three dissenting opinions. And the Gemara later on is going to deal with whether these dissenting opinions agree to each other or disagree with each other. But each one is a separate opinion for now. The Gemara will talk about later on whether one agrees to two and three or does three agree to two and one. We'll see. Rabbi Yaisi Aymer, Subasa Nichtevai Larvishan. Rabbi Yaisi said, no, we make the first one pay her in Suba. We don't go that far. We say, as far as her, he has to divorce her, but she does get Ksuba from the first husband. Rabbi Lazar Aymer, Harishan Zakoy B'Mitziyasa B'Maisiyadeh B'Farasa Dereh. We don't punish him at all. Meaning, we took away his Matziah and his Maisiyadayim. We wanted this marriage out, so we broke it up and took things away from him. And we took away his right to nullify her Nedarim. Well, according to Rabbi Lazar, we don't. We don't take anything away from him. He has all the rights of a husband till he divorces her. And Rav Shimon Aymer, B'Yaseh Halitzasim Echo Sharishim Pateres Sarasim. The first one's brother can do Yibum or Chalitza, Ve'en Havad Mimenu Mamzer, and the first one can do Chalitza and Yibum, and Ve'en Havad Mamzer means the first one's kids will not be Rabbinic Mamzerim. He disagrees with the commissioner that said that if the first one retains your kids of Mamzerim, he says, whoa, no. We ask him to divorce her, we punish her in different ways, but the kid's not a Mamzer rabbinically. He disagrees.
Because the second one's not a real marriage.
Because the second one's not a real marriage. Even though we threw the book at the first one also, Reb Shimon takes that back. He says the first one's brother can do Yibum or Chalitza, and if the first one doesn't divorce her, which he's supposed to do, we're not going to punish that his kids are rabbinic Mamzerim. That's
Rebbe,
what Shimon says.
When was this Yavam born? This doesn't make sense. If he had aidas that the first husband died, she's high for Yibum right away.
I guess he must have been born afterwards. That's a good question. They came and told her husband died. Are they brothers or are they not brothers? If they're no brothers, she needs Yibum. Right away, how could she marry the second guy? And are there brothers? So, what are we talking about Yibum now? So you have to say that the Yavam was born after she heard that her husband died. He never died.
And then 13 years later, he comes back. Then 13 years later, he comes back to life. Okay.
I mean, this coming back can happen 20 years afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the guy that survived the war. His wife thought he died. She got married in 1967. 22 years after the war is over, he comes back. He finds his wife. And meanwhile, she's been married for 21 years and has grandchildren, who are all Mamzerim now.
The
other man has been
born before he died, right? He didn't die. Yes, but they suspected
that he died. And said there was no Yibum because there was no brother. The Mishnah says that the first one's brothers can do Yibum. So Baruch Maisha wanted to know what happened when they told her that the husband died. Were they children or were they not children? If we're talking about Yibum, that means there were no children. So how'd she marry the second one? She needed Yibum. The answer is there was no Yibum around at that point either. And here comes the next piece. V'mnitha shaloi b'shus. If she got married without a special reshus of bezin, but with two witnesses, shaloi b'reshus means she didn't need the special waiver that we rely on one witness. She exercised her Torah rights. Two witnesses came and told her husband's dead. That's believed in Torah. She doesn't need bezin to give her a special waiver. Halacha is mutaris la'achzalai. We don't punish her. And she can go back to her first husband. We do, the kids of the second husband are still Mamzerim. The second husband was never married to her, but we don't throw the book at her. She relied on two Adam. That's what the Torah told us to do. The Torah said, believe two witnesses. It wasn't based on her research. You don't research when two Adam come and tell you something. That's the best evidence there is. Two Adam walked in and told Bezin, Reuven died. She didn't need a special waiver that said, because you do an investigation, we're going to let you free. No. She relied on Adam. So there's no reason to punish her.
They become Mamzerim?
Which one, the first ones or the second one? Why are the witnesses Mamzerim? You can't become a Mamzer in the middle of your life.
What do they become?
Nothing.
They testify they're wrong.
100%. So they're Eidish Garim. They lied. Either they lied or they thought he was dead and he wasn't. They saw him go in the left column in Auschwitz. They testified that he died. I'm telling you, this is the case. So they came and said he got killed in Auschwitz. No, nobody was mazim them. Nobody came and said he mazim them.
That's the only reason why, is that?
There's no punishment anyway. We'll give them malchus. That's all you can do to them. You can't make them mazim.
Yes.
Right,
what is the kind of common argument as far as why husband number one, he didn't disappear willingly, he survived and fought his way back home. Why are we taking stuff?
We want to break the marriage up. We want to force that divorce. If you take away any benefit from him, he'll divorce you much quicker.
Welcome home.
We want to break up this marriage.
It's not specifically a punishment for him.
Exactly. So here is your cancer. And this is Shalai.
Why did they say this before? Why did they say they came with one witness?
The Gemara is going to explain it that way. Rashi explained it that way, but the Gemara is going to explain it that way. And this is Shloim Rishus, if you take a look at Rashi, Shabosh Shnei Eidim V'amru Meizbay, look, V'nisus Mi'atzma, meaning she didn't need a waiver. A woman that relies on a one aid is really using a waiver. Biblically speaking, as the Gemara will explain after an Amud, there is no trust in one aid to allow a woman to get married. We don't trust one aid. So why in the world all of a sudden are we trusting one witness? The answer is, and the mechanism for this is a big machlaikas. But the Rabbanan saw that we can't leave women igunas. There's a big iguna problem. Igunas means bound without a husband and no...
Just say bow instead of...
Again, your problem is a problem. But that's what the Gemara translated as. The Mizna Shalai B'Shus Mataris Lakhzalai. Again, the Lakhzalai said, Shikha Hatibet. Mataris Lakhzalai said, Trashi Danusi. What do you want from her? She relied on witnesses. Back to the Gemara. Anusa doesn't mean Anusa. Anusa means it's not amazing. We'll see in a minute. Let me just finish the next few lines. Nisus Abibazin, Teitzei Peturim Min HaKarban. If she got married by the waiver, Bezin told her, after one witness, do your investigation and you can get married. The husband comes back and she wants to know now, does she bring a carbon? She lived in sin. B'shaygig, not, listen, she didn't do due diligence, but she didn't do it on purpose. So she lived with the second husband 45 times.
Back to the first case again?
First case. That halacha she doesn't bring a carbon because she relied on Bezin's stock. And the rule is, this is machloikas, Gemara will get involved, but this man the Amar holds, that whenever you do something because Bezin told you you're allowed to do it, you don't bring a carbon. Because you didn't do it on your own decision. You did it because Bezin told you you're allowed to do it. And therefore she doesn't bring a carbon. However, Nisus Shalai Api Bezin, sorry, where is it? Like Nisus Api Bezin, she had two witnesses. So it's not a Psak Bezin. It's the way the Torah said, rely on two Adam. Takes it, it's a carbon. She does have to bring a carbon. Because the bottom line is, she lived B'shaygig as an HSH. So she has to bring a carbon. Case number one is that she had a special waiver for Bezin. See, this is the point I'm trying to get across. Right. Therefore, she relied on Bezin's waiver, no carbon. Two witnesses came in and said her husband's dead. She doesn't need a waiver. The Adam have to testify in Bezin, but it doesn't need a psak Bezin. And therefore, she would have to bring a carbon.
So, if
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mike had a question. I didn't let him ask it. Yes.
Normally, when there's one aid, the base comes to the base then, and
they, everybody goes to bed. Nothing happens without bed.
Except in this case, where she has two aids.
No, she's still in the bed, and they have to testify in bed.
Oh, both times. Okay.
The difference is, do you need a special waiver, or is it the basic law?
But Adam always has to go to base then.
It's not called Haggadah's Eidus, unless it's in bed. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara that that's not true. If your wife tells you that the chicken is kosher, you rely on her because she's an Eid Echad. She doesn't have to go to Bethan to say that the chicken is kosher. Which means she's an Eid.
Which is the same thing over here too, right?
Well, we'll see that that's not. But if it is, then you don't need Bethan for that.
Again, this is going to be new
data. Because it's a special waiver. When your wife tells you it's kosher, she doesn't need the waiver.
So if both women have to go to Beit Din, whether it's a single aid or two aid,
that's because testimony is in Beit Din.
So why do you make the difference between whether she brings a korban or not?
Because in one case, it's the waiver of Beit Din, and in one case, Beit Din just says basic law.
Is it the tzedakah of Beit Din?
Correct. Beit Din listens to the testimony. That becomes a testimony, and she's free. You don't need Beit Din to give her a waiver.
It's not because it depends who does the diligence and homework.
Nobody does homework when two Adam come in.
Right.
They just listen to the testimony, but makes sense, it's true, and we move on.
So when two Adam come along and say, we saw this, we're 100% sure Beit Din gives him the chakira and all that.
Well, it's a big shaila whether we need chakira, but let's say we do. It's a machlokes, yes.
Everything that happens, turns out she married the second guy, had kids, 5 years later, husband comes back. So we're saying right now, in front of all 10 people here, she's a mamzeres.
Yes, fact. Mamzeres is a fact. She had a kid during her marriage with another man. Can't change the fact.
Person to live with someone who is five parties, okay, without Ada, are the kids from there?
Yeah, yes.
What?
Yes. It's a biblical fact. Kefernita.
A person who lives with someone
who's
5 cars without Adam and the kids from Zerah? 100%. 100%. Right. Feldman, did they also?
Who?
Feldman? No, it was really true? Didn't that be amazing?
I made it up.
Didn't that be amazing?
No. No.
I'm not saying it has to be amazing.
No, it does not. A woman moves to town. Are you married? She says, no, I'm not married. Somebody marries her. We find out later she was married. Kids are mamzerim.
Well, this is different. This is that Adam came along and said the husband died.
Correct.
To Adam.
I heard you.
Can't be better than that.
Mask him. I agree. Listen, again, I'll only point out, repeat what Harvey said yesterday, and that is, usually this doesn't happen. When two Adam come in and say they saw somebody dead, he's usually dead. The Raya, the Torah said that's the best evidence. Right? Usually, when one Aid comes in and says the husband's dead, and she does some investigation, usually he won't show up. That's usually, it's not like this is the common thing that happens. Listen, it can happen. Two Adam can come in and say something, and either they lied or they weren't careful enough, and he shows up. It happens.
Well, why is it different than any kind of Oraz Bez did, and they passed him incorrectly?
But that's not a Rishus Bez Din. That's not called a Rishus Bez Din. Right?
We did everything right.
Again, Mamzerus is an automatic consequence.
No. It can't be.
Does it take away the handicap of a child that was born after? It doesn't. Is the handicap instead?
What you're asking is, what you're really asking is, and you don't even know that you're asking this, but this is what you mean to ask, is that Rabbanim do have a power to retroactively nullify a marriage based on Afkinu Rabbanim L'Kedushim Mineh, which we've had a number of times. So why don't Rabbanim, in every case of Mamzerus, do this to save the Mamzerus? That's what you're asking.
No, not every case.
Why not? In every case like this.
Every case like this.
Right, that's what you're asking. Okay, the answer is they didn't do it. You're right. Theoretically, they had the power to do it. Why they didn't do it is a good question, but they didn't do it. They didn't do it. They did not use that power to nullify marriages to save the kids from being Mamzerim. And that's what you're really asking. There's no other way to ask the question. Mamzerim is reality, as the mayor pointed out. Kid that's born with a handicap is born with a handicap. There's nothing to do about it. However, what you're asking is, they do have in their arsenal a right to remove Kedushin. And sometimes they do that. So the question is, they do it very rare, very sparingly. But the Gemara, about 5 or 6 times throughout Shas, said the Rabbanon used that option. So what you want to know is, why didn't Rabbanon come in and say, this lady relied on 2 Adam, she did everything right, let us use that option.
She relied on 2 Adam.
Everybody relied on 2 Adam, the Torah relies on 2 Adam.
That's right.
Right. So you're asking, why didn't Rabbanon pull that out of their arsenal? A good question, I don't have an answer. But that's what you mean to ask without asking it.
When they affect the first marriage, it should follow logically that they affect the status of the kids that come after that. Once they impact that first marriage, every child born after that should be a non-monster. It's really what the...
What do you mean by affect the first marriage?
Once they were physically terminated, that first marriage,
where
the husband number one is gone,
they
terminated.
They did not terminate it.
Well, they
think
he's dead.
Well, he was dead. I mean, as far as the Bezel was concerned, he was dead, yeah.
Right. So why wouldn't the logical continuation of that?
Because he's not dead. I mean, they assumed he was dead, but they don't... He showed up.
So since they now impact him after he showed up...
They might say he was here. He was alive. It was a mistake. He wasn't dead. Now, they do have that tool in the arsenal that they can remove a marriage retroactive. All the way from the beginning. Because when a person makes Kedushin, he says, Kedat Meshavi Yisrael. He throws those 3 words in, which basically says, I am at the mercy of Bezin, whether my marriage is valid. So they have the right to pull the plug, retroactively, on the marriage. The question, what Avraham meant to ask, is why didn't they do that in this case? I don't have a good answer.
I want to take a step further from Harvey, and then a step further from me, and I think 2 steps further from him. That, you know, Harvey, if a guy marries a lady and he tells her, I want to move back to America and live in Israel, and she says she ain't moving, you get 100 rabbis who sign a paper, they're divorced.
No, it's not true. No.
No, no,
no, no, no, no, no.
She can marry another lady.
She can't.
I said he can.
That's because the whole issue is a Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon. There's nothing wrong with marrying 2 women. There's zero impact on this. Biblically and rabbinically, people can marry more than 1 wife. So there, in order to remove the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon, 100 rabbis can do that. She's not divorced. No, she's not. By the way, he has to write a get and deposit it in Bezin.
She's not divorced?
No. Until she accepts the get, she's not divorced. She's married to him. She refuses to take the get. Because really, biblically speaking, he can walk over to her and give it to her whether she wants it or not. Came along Rabbeinu Gershon, and he made a cherem of that too. He said, you can't divorce a woman against her will. So he really put the husband in a bind. He can't divorce the woman against her will, which he could do biblically and rabbinically. And he can't marry a second wife. So what's the man supposed to do? Now, you would say, listen, his wife is stuck because she can't do anything. You're stuck too. Well, Rabbeinu Gershon didn't do that. He said, if 100 rabbis Let him marry a second wife. He can marry a second wife. But they will only allow it under certain circumstances. Let's say, Rahman al-Islam, the woman went crazy. She can't accept the get. She's beyond. She lost it, totally. So then they allow a person to marry a second wife. Or she refuses to accept the get. He writes the get. He goes to Bezin and says, I have a get for my wife. She doesn't want to take it. So Bezin takes the get, holds it for whenever she wants it. Meanwhile, they get 100 rabbis in 3 countries, by the way. They have to come from 3 different countries to be matur.
Is that part of the takana, the 100 rabbis?
It's part of Rabbeinu Gershon's takana. It's not the Rabbana, it's not the Gemara. Yeah. That's when he wanted it not, you know, he wanted a whole bunch of people involved. So he spread it out. Rashi. Oh, I didn't finish the Mishnah yet. Next case. Yosbekayach Bezin should pay trim in a carbon. The fact that she got the waiver from Bezin absolves her from a carbon. Haru Bezin Linasei. What if Bezin gave her the waiver? The Holka Vakilkala. And she went and she was Mizana. Okay? Reuven, one aide comes in and says, Reuven's dead. She goes to Bezin. Bezin says, listen, lady, the halacha is, if you do your due diligence, you can get married. Right? We give you a waiver. She decided that he was dead, and she went and was Mizana with somebody. She didn't marry a second husband. She was Mizana. Now, Bezin never told her, you can go be Mizana. Bezin said, you're allowed to get married. She went and was Mizana. So she cannot say that she relied on Bezin for this nuts. Bezin never allowed her to have an out-of-marriage experience, affair. Therefore, she has to bring a carbon. Again, the tour of carbon is because she totally relied on Bezin. Bezin's psak is you're allowed to get married. Now, what Bezin said is you're no longer an HSH if you do your due diligence. Right? They were wrong. But if she did what Bezin allowed her to do, she could say, I don't have to bring a carbon. I did exactly what Bezin told me to do. You didn't do exactly what Bezin told you to do. Bezin said you can get married. You went ahead and had an extramarital affair, an extra out-of-marriage affair. That Bezin never allowed, and therefore you can't say you relied on Bezin. Even though she did it because she thought she was free, right? But the bottom line is Bezin never allowed this act. And therefore, she has to bring a carbon. It's a carbon issue only.
Has a single woman who does this, never been married, have to bring a carbon?
No.
Forget about any other situation. What woman has to bring a carbon?
Anybody that violates a chayvi krisis or more. The shagig. She was a shagig here. The out-of-marriage affair was amazing. But for a single woman, that's not current. She's not an Ida. Haru Bezin Linasei V'Olcha B'Kilka L'Chayev Es B'Karbon Shalei Tiru El Linasei Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Shalei Api Bezin El Be'edim Chayev Es Karbon Shigeg Esi V'Ein Zah Oynes Li Potem In HaKarbon. Even though we said she's Anusa, but she's not Anusa enough that she's not part of Karbon, the boy of the Mtuni, she should have waited. Meaning, we don't say she's 100% an Anusa. She relied on Edom, but the bottom line, we consider that a Shigeg. Dr. Gemara Weiter.
Rebbe, he had a question on that. Question. She gets the basin lets her get married and she does yibum. Let's say this dead brother, supposedly dead brother, had a brother, and now she does yibum with him, and now he comes back to life. Is that Eishes Ach and require Chiv Kares?
Carbon, you mean? She did a b'shagig.
She did a b'shagig, yeah. Carbon. Chiv Krisus b'shagig.
It's no different than Eishes Ish b'shagig. I'm trying to figure out what did you add to the piece. Was it just to be two karbanas? One for Eishes Ish, one for Eishes Ach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless the old Anus or Chal Alister gets involved in all that. It's a Batachas, so maybe both are Chal. Yeah, she would have to bring two karbanas, correct. She would have to bring two karbanas too. They both did the same Avera. And they both were shagig.
So they had to base them. applied to him too, not just to her, but... I don't know if I'm saying it right.
No, you're asking a good question. In the case that she doesn't have to bring a carbon, how about him? That's what you're asking. I don't know the answer to that question. He didn't get a waiver from Beth. She did.
Does the whole world have a hesed to marry her?
Yes.
So is that a hesed to base him?
Well.
Including him?
That's true. Maybe you're right. I mean, Lemaitha, he's relying on her diligence.
Yeah.
He's gambling too.
If she, husband said, check it out, she did. One witness, she checked it out.
How do you see that for now?
And found out husband and wife did his.
You're still hung up on this.
You
told me I'm not allowed to say obvious questions anymore, yes.
So this is not any better or worse than the same thing as 2 years. Given her, she said check it out.
As far as the kids are concerned, there's no difference.
And in any practical anything?
Whether she had to bring a carbon or not. That's what the mission said, it's the only difference.
Now, let's say,
oh, by the way, no. There's a big difference. If 2 Adam say she can get married, and she got married and the husband shows up, she can stay married to her first husband. They didn't throw the book at her. She can stay married to her first husband, she gets the ksuba from her first husband, she's totally married to him. There was no reason to throw the only reason we do all this to the woman is to force her to do due diligence. With 2 Adam, we don't need her to do due diligence. This is our means of forcing her to do diligence. We say to her, lady, you should be aware, if your husband ever comes back, you're going to get hit with this massive repercussion.
Yeah, so she'll never feel I did it wrong.
Again, as Harvey pointed out yesterday, in most cases when there's an Eid Echad, he's not showing up.
Again, she would never know.
She's
24.
She's no more.
So she goes and does diligence to the best of her ability, and we hope she gets it right.
And what happens if she went 3 times to every country and did it, and you know, she has records of every, you know, 3 years of research she did, and unbelievable, and then, yet he comes back. You know?
That means he obviously didn't get it done.
No, he's right.
You know, he told me yesterday I'm not allowed to say obvious questions, but that's what all this is.
No.
That's a classic. Dr. Harris just asked
the question.
No,
I think yesterday he got angry at me for telling me he asked obvious questions. I told him I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm just going to say he told me I'm not allowed to ask obvious
questions. The only time he comes back is when he's the MC for his son, which is the stupidest thing I've heard in my life.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Is she going to spend money for that?
I get it. Please.
What I'm trying to say is, the doctor said something very smart. What he said was is that we're not, because she did the best she could, there's a leeway here. She did the best she could, but it wasn't the best she could. Yes, it was the best she could.
Again, see, I think what we're missing here is Mamzerus is a fact. This is a fact.
No, I'm talking about, she stayed with the first husband, she can't.
Because this is the way we force her to do her best. And therefore, this is reality, right, lady? If he comes back, this is what you're going to get hit with.
So any girl that's nervous, any girl...
won't get married.
That's right.
Unless she's 24 with 2 kids to
support,
with no money.
How does she have kids?
From the first husband before he disappeared.
Oh. Is that a reason to...
No.
That's because one's biblical and one's a special waiver.
I know, but one is no due diligence. The other is you could do due diligence to the best of your ability. You could have every forensic scientist you want. You could know people. You could have people in place, and it just doesn't matter.
Exactly. You're right. Because the Torah said two Edom is it, and one Edom is not.
Don't give this...
But we're worried about Igunas. We're worried about this 24-year-old with two kids. We want to get her... We want to give her permission to get remarried.
And if it does itself without all kind of stuff, can't do anything about it?
Back to the question. Why didn't they go and
tell him? What's the answer to that question?
I told you I don't have an answer. But they all ask it. But Bezin doesn't use... The Rabbanon don't use that power. This was a major controversy in the 1950s and the 1960s, where you had modern rabbis that wanted to be matur all mamzerim by using the power of Afkinu Rabbanon L'Kedushim Minei. We will nullify all marriages that end up with mamzerim, and therefore everybody will live happily ever after. And Rabbi Soloveitchik of Boston wrote a huge shuva saying why that's not allowed. We have no right to exercise that option today unless the Rabbanon exercised it, they didn't. He wrote a huge shuva against those rabbis who wanted to do it. At the end of the day, no one does it. But at that point in time, going back to the 50s and 60s, there was a group of rabbis who wanted to exercise this and therefore solve all Mamzera's problems. And they said, we have the right to use that Afkinu Rabbanon L'Kedushin. And Rabbi Soloveitchik of Boston wrote, again, he was the one that responded because the ones more right-wing than that didn't respond to those rabbis at all. They just ignored them. But he responded with a long tshuva why that cannot be used today. Now, why didn't Rabbanon originally use it? I don't know if he covers that in his tshuva or not. That I don't know. This was a huge tumult at that point, back in the 50s and 60s.
You know, in Yad Vashem, they have like forms of people that were made on people that were nifter. And it's searchable. I found my father gave Edus on a bunch of his relatives that were nifter. But I don't think that was Edus that the Rabbanon made over there. It was just for records.
I don't know. Again, this is a very, very sensitive topic, for lack of a better word. It's a very sensitive topic. He said he doesn't know if it was taken as Edus or not. If it depends, it has to be done in front of a bed, and you can't just write it down on a paper.
You can't have a record.
No, that's not
that person.
No. Now, today, in certain circumstances, we use DNA as evidence. DNA is acceptable evidence. If we find a piece of the body and there's DNA evidence, we rely on DNA to be macho a woman to get married. We do rely on DNA. There's no testimony, but that to us is 100% proof. Which opens up another Pandora's box of problems. Can we use DNA to prove paternity? And if we do that, we're opening up all kinds of problems.
What's the ethic of DNA?
Because it's 100% evidence. The statistics of DNA are such that anybody that DNA matches is the person.
Anybody found DNA? Person might have been 9/11. His hand was over there, and he walked away. And
obviously, they would have to find DNA of a part that he wouldn't be able to survive without. You're right. If it's his hand, maybe that would not be a Raya.
Unidentifiable corpse, unfortunately. They take the DNA from that and match it with the known DNA.
This is all discussed in contemporary halacha, but we do rely on DNA as a process of identification, yes. And after Yisrael, by terrorist attacks, this is always done. Yes, they rely on DNA.